You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Monday. Happy Monday to you. Thank God it's Monday. Thank God he's woken us up here for another day. Praise God. I thank you guys for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Pastor Paul Esposito here, senior pastor of Island Community Church. You are tuned into WGOD Radio. God's always broadcasting. He's got a word for you now. His word is going to come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. This was my sermon from yesterday. Let's hear part one of this, part two tomorrow on Tuesday, and then we'll be back in the book of Revelation Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So Hebrews chapter 12, let's get into the word.
Does everyone have one of these handouts? If you need one of these, raise your hand, make sure you get it. Everyone's good. Are we rolling there, Mr. Whiting? Rolling. Praise God. We're in Hebrews chapter 12 today. Nearing the end of this book in Hebrews. We got 1 week left. We're going to wrap this up next week. So I just want to greet everyone too that's watching this video on YouTube later. Hey, thanks for joining us. I encourage you guys to follow along with this Revelation series that's going on the radio. Now that's on 7:30 a.m. or 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can go to WMIEFM.com if you're out of the area, and you can hear it live on there or download the app for WMIE and follow along with us. I believe time is short, and I believe the Lord Jesus is returning soon. And once again, it's high time. We're back in the book of Revelation. So that's on, like I said, 7:30 in the morning, rebroadcast at 5:30 in the afternoon. This sermon will be on Monday and Tuesday. So, okay, let's pray before we get started. Lord, without your blessing, all is meaningless. Without you giving us the understanding, we thank you that you don't speak to us in parables. You explain to us the meaning and understanding of your word. Draw close to us now as we draw close to you. Speak to us where we know that you speak. We're tuning into your frequency now, Lord God. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to change where we need to change. And that's going to start with showing us where we fall short. And then help us to get back on track. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, we're in Hebrews 12. We left off with some exhortations in running the race. That's where we left off last week. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin." You see that? Every weight and the sin. So the weight is not the sin. Remember we looked at that last week? The weight is not sin. The weight is the carry-on baggage. Runners put ankle weights on when they're practicing. Then when the race starts, you see, once it's crunch time, off come the weights. And then they're ready to run the race, just like a baseball player. If you ever watch a baseball player in the on-deck circle, he's got this, it's not a glaze, It's not a jelly, it's not a cruller, and it's not an old-fashioned. It's a regular baseball donut on his back. I just got donuts on my mind this morning. And when he steps up, when it's crunch time, you see, down he goes, off comes the donut, and now he's ready. And the author here is saying, you and I have the same problem here in life. He says, lay aside all of these weights that are dogging you out here today. Weights that are keeping you from running this race. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which so easily, whap, ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. All right, the joy was redeeming mankind, reconciling everyone who has faith back to God. That was the joy. Certainly it was not the cross, but he had the end in view with what he did. The joy that was set before him was reconciling you with Jehovah back again. Praise God. Jesus says, Luann, meet Jehovah. And I'm going to bridge that gap. Right? There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. That's the joy that he had before him. He had the end in mind. He had the end in view. So for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now there in verse 2 where it says the author and finisher of our faith, notice the word our is in italics, meaning once again, the translators have added that word for clarity, if you notice that in your Bible. It should read, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter, or a finisher, the author and perfecter of faith. Not just our faith. They added the word our in your Bible. That's why it's in a different font. If you guys have your Bible with you, if you notice that, our, O-U-R, is in a different font. The translators added that to help you understand the text, but it should read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Not just your faith, but faith. He is the trailblazer, the pioneer of faith. Look, faith is the key to eternal life. And faith is a gift. It's a gift from God. Believing in what and in whom you cannot see is the key to everlasting eternal life. Remember chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the hypostasis, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Also, like I said, your faith is not your own. It's a gift given to you by God. Not everyone has it. Look around. Millions upon millions out here cheer abortion, because they cannot believe that God is the giver of life. They don't have what you have. You've got faith. Your faith is a gift from God. That's what separates you from everyone else. Your faith's not your own. The Apostle Paul asked for prayer from his readers because of all the evil people around him. Then he said, not everyone has faith. Now, you guys know from time to time I've suggested the King James Version could do a better job with some words. But let me give them credit here where credit is due. Listen to these verses here. Romans 3, 21 and 22. Now, as a Bible translator, let me say, they're the only ones that get this right. Let me read these three or four places here from the King James. Romans 3, 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the laws, or apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God. Now remember, when you read the word righteous, that means you're declared, that's an official word from the courtroom, that's a legal term. To be righteous is for God to officially declare you not guilty in a court of law, in his court. Even the righteousness of God, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no distinction. Now, every other translation says faith in Jesus Christ. The King James Version says faith of Jesus Christ. And the King James Version has got it right. The point being, even your faith is not your own. Your faith is a gift from God. Sort of just makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Even your faith is not your own. You don't just willy-nilly decide one day that you're going to call on the name of the Lord, believe in the man upstairs, and all that other muckety-muck, yakety-yak stuff. Your faith is a gift. How about this one? Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Notice both of them are there in that text. You still have to believe in, but his faith has been given to you. Let me read that again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's Galatians 2:16. Now Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. But church, know and understand, the faith that you have is not of your own making. God has gifted it to you. Even your faith, again, just makes you want to shout, doesn't it? I mean, look around. There's 7.3 billion people in the world. Not a lot of people have what you have. Now let's see where the Lord's going to lead us this morning in the book of Hebrews, shall we? Let's go to verse 3 here. He says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, I would say, like he did. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all, that's A-L-L is how you spell all, in case you're wondering. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Church, imagine what would happen if God left us up to our own devices. Perish the thought, right? Now, I can't prove this, but I believe it's only the sons and daughters of God that have the loving, corrective hand of God intervening in their lives. But I can prove from the last verse we looked at that those who don't belong to him are without chastening. He's just said it. They're under a different kind of chastening than what you are. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit started his ministry that he will convict the world of sin, the sin of unbelief. And if God does not chasten you, then you are illegitimate. Meaning, God's not your father. Would you let your son loose, unguarded, and unprotected, with no guidance or no love or no correction permanently? All of you fathers out there, would you do that? You cannot inherit from God the Father if you are not legit. Now, on the other hand, Jesus told this to the religious leaders of his day. He said, you belong to your father, the devil. John 8:44. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. And there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So, all liars belong to their father, and you belong to your father. Praise God. If God does not take you out back to the woodshed every once in a while, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong, church. Something is wrong. We got to find out what's the matter here. The Apostle Paul told us, scrutinize or examine yourself as to whether or not you were in the faith. We looked at this Wednesday night. Examine your own self. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless indeed if you fail the test, and if Christ Jesus is in you, God is going to chasten you whenever he sees fit to keep you on the straight and narrow. Here's another test for us. We get disciplined by the Lord when we need it. Isn't it funny how that works? Sometimes when I expect it, I don't get it. And other times I considered something to be trivial. And man, oh man, I paid the price for that. The worst case that's ever happened to me was after my former wife had passed away. Now, shortly afterwards, perhaps a year later, maybe less than that, God tried to put another woman in my life. An excellent, godly woman who would keep me in line, who would be able to be a pastor's wife. Now, you guys know her as Carol Esposito. I'm glad she's not in here for me to embarrass her. And I broke up with her because I was afraid of what people were going to say about me. Marrying so soon after my wife was gone. And I'll never forget that night. That was the worst whooping I have ever endured in my Christian life, or any other life for that matter. For what I did after all that he had done. God orchestrated all of this and I reasoned it away. And out of fear, you see, I let fear be the guiding and determining factor for me. After all that God had did, nope. Now it's those kind of things and it's that kind of relationship that you and I have with our Heavenly Father. That's what I'm trying to say. He corrects us when we do wrong. Sometimes it's for sin. Sometimes it's for something else. Doesn't have to be sin. That if he did not intervene in our life, that our destiny would be different. When that path that we're on, that our destiny would be different. Man, oh man, that's when he gets out that hammer. That's when he gets the hammer out. If that's what's needed, we're going to get to God's toolbox coming up in a minute. He's got his own toolbox. He has his own little DeWalt belt and a toolbox. Now, verse 11 reminds us of what we already know. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. You think? Who likes that? Nevertheless, catch the word nevertheless. Meaning, he's got a reason for this. Nevertheless, afterwards, that is, after being taken out back to God's woodshed, nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been, there's that Greek word, gymnos again, where our word gymnasium comes from, trained by it. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the outcome of chastening. It yields fruit. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. That is the peaceable fruit of being right with God. That's what it yields. It yields the peaceable fruit of you being right with God again. That's why we embrace this. God's got the end. Just like the Son had the end in mind, so does God have your end in mind when he does what he does. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, stop walking around like the hunchback of Notre Dame or some kind of orangutan dragging your knuckles down here on the ground. Stand up straight. Would they say, Marines, chest out and stomach in, you old knee knocker, you? And catch the command, verse 13, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. So that would be, don't walk around with your hands dragging and your knees knocking. Strengthen your hands. Stand up straight. Or as they used to say, take it like a man. Or as Frankie Valli would say, walk like a man. Walk like a man. I am not going to sing up here falsetto. The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. Take it like a man, walk like a man. Straighten up, chest out, stomach in. Now he's saying this. Strengthen those hands which hang down and your knee knocking. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame, like a horse. Sometimes they'd scratch a horse at the last minute and they'd say, the horse pulled up lame. And that's what we're in. We're in this race. He says, he doesn't want us to pull up lame either. Now, verse 14 and the next imperative command. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Peace and holiness. Ringo says, well, this is all songs today. Ringo says, peace and love. God says, peace and holiness. The love will flow later out of the heart. Get those two right, the love will come. Peace and holiness. He says, chase after it. Like a dog chasing a rabbit. Chase peace and holiness. And if you don't have those things, he says, you'll never see God. You'll never see God. Pursue it. You need to possess both of these attributes, peace and holiness. You receive peace from the Prince of Peace. The great dispenser of peace is Jesus Christ. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Also, peace is one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, you will have peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. That means I can't teach about it. I can't explain it to you. It's what a Christian has when he has the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. It's what we need to get through everything, everyday life. Like those families over there in Texas. How in the world are they going to get through this? They can't get through it without the peace of God. Without going to see the doctor to get something. We got to go to God for this. He gives us the peace to help us get through all of these trials out here in the world. We get that from him. He says, chase after it.
peace, holiness. The Apostle Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of holiness. Here's that verse again. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. These traits must be your traits. Peace, holiness. Remember what holiness is? It means to be set apart from this evil world. Holy means to be set aside for special use from the Master. Holy, come out from among them. Be ye holy, separate. Peter said it. We read it in the Old Testament. Be ye holy, he says, as I am holy. Holy. You've got the spirit of holiness on the inside of you. This is why you love the things that God loves. This is why you hate the things that God hates. Now, granted, we might still struggle with these things, and we do from time to time. This is why you have a distaste for sin. You might not be perfect at it, but you got a distaste for it. This is why you hunger and thirst after righteousness, because of the spirit of holiness that dwells on the inside of you. It's not you. Don't even credit yourself for that. That comes from Him. The spirit of holiness who resides on the inside of you, without which no one will see the Lord. Without this spirit on the inside of you, you'll never see God. Romans 8, 9 says, whoever does not have this spirit, Holy Spirit, the spirit of holiness, whoever does not have the spirit does not belong to God. Romans 8, 9. Now, I'd imagine that that person is never chastened for anything. He's only accused. He's only accused by the devil. He's not chastened by God. You're only accused by the devil. You had to get the sin part right first. You got to get the sin part right. Verse 15. Look, an unbeliever is not chastened like you are. This is for God's... Now, granted, He chose us before the foundation of the world. I've heard a million testimonies, and mine as well, that God's had His hand on His own for years, even when they were children. Verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Bitterness defiles you. It's like gangrene. I encourage you to get rid of that stuff. If you're a child of God, He will get rid of it for you if you prefer. I think it's in your best interest to get rid of it on your own instead of God doing it for you. It'll be a lot less painful.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.